looking at how Jesus related to the people that he met in his ministry. And today we're going to look at one of the times when Jesus encountered people who were incredibly busy. This one really makes a lot of sense to me because, number one, I feel like I tend to be busy. And number two, most of the people that I interact with, if I'm going to be able to work with Jesus, most of the people that I'm going to interact with are also very busy people. So let's read this account. It's in Luke, the fifth chapter, and we're going to start in verse 1. It came to pass, while the multitude pressed upon him and heard the word of God, that he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. That is Jesus, of course. He's standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes out of the boat. Wonderful opportunity for Jesus to be able to address the multitudes, and he could do it without being pressed upon by the crowds if he just got in this boat and moved out into the lake just a little bit. When he left off speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Simon answered, he said, "Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing. But at thy word, I will let down the nets." When they'd done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Their nets were breaking. They beckoned to their partners in the other boat that they should come and help them. They came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell down at Jesus' feet or at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." He was amazed, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." When they brought their boats to land, they left all and they followed him. Well, as I read through the encounters that Jesus had with the people that he met during his ministry, I'm impressed at how often Jesus had an encounter with people who were just minding their own business. They were otherwise engaged. They didn't come to a place where they wanted to hear Jesus. They were just going about their daily business. And really, that's what Peter and his partners were doing. They were minding their nets. They were taking care of a lot of the mundane things that go with being a fisherman. It wasn't as if they were fishing. And if you're a fisherman, you know, you spend an awful lot of time getting ready to go fish and a lot less time actually fishing. Well, Peter and his partners were spending their time washing their nets, mending their nets, and it just takes a lot of time. Jesus often approaches us when we're busy taking care of the mundane things that we have to take care of. We have to mow the lawn. We have to mend the socks. We have to wash the clothes. We have to wash the dishes. We have to take care of cleaning the house. We have to take care of getting the car fixed. So many things in our lives that are really just mundane. But you know, Jesus is there, and he can encounter us in those times. And when he encounters us, even in our busyness, Jesus typically demands some commitment that we follow him. In Peter's case, he said, Peter, I want you to go out a little bit further and let down your nets because you're going to catch some fish. So Peter was busy. He was already doing something. And Jesus expected him to listen to what he said. And really, that's the way it is with all of us, right? We're busy, and Jesus expects us to pay attention to what he says. Now, we're kind of like Peter, and our first response is, I fished all night. I'm tired. I don't have the time to do this. I don't want to go do this. And I have to say, I'm like that. How many of us could say, I get so tired. I'm so consumed with the things about life that I just don't have time to do what Jesus really wants me to do right now. And how many times have we thought about it? And even though our initial response is, no, I'm not going to do it, after a little reflection, we decide, you know, that I'm going to do this anyway. Now, thank God that he understands the principle of patience. I don't. If I'm like any of you, I know that you don't always understand the concept of patience either. I tell Kim, we need to do this. Then she doesn't immediately respond. We were carrying things out last night and getting ready to just entertain some friends. And so we were taking some big containers of hot chocolate out. And I said, you have to come and help me open the door because I'm carrying all of this hot chocolate. And she didn't come quickly enough. Now, when she didn't come quickly enough, I needed to be smart enough to know that she wasn't saying, I'm not ever going to help you. But I wasn't. She came and opened the door, but she already had her hands full. She was doing something else. And I wanted her to come and do this for me immediately. I am so glad that God understands patience a lot better than I do. And I know that God is going to look at the entirety of my life and he's going to say, well, he's doing it. It's just taking him a minute. That's what happened with Peter. Peter said, no, I've been fishing all night. I'm tired. I don't want to go. And what was the next sentence? And then he went. So Peter, even though he was busy, listened. And thankfully, God knew that no didn't mean no never. And when Peter went out fishing, he caught fish. Not just a few fish, not just a little bit of fish. Ron can tell you about catching a little bit of fish. No, Ron can tell you about doing all the things to get ready to go fishing, but not catching. No, I'm just teasing Ron. I know he likes to fish almost as much as I do. Peter went out with his partners, They let down the nets and they caught fish. How many of you have ever wondered what that blessing amounted to? Jesus said, go out, let down your nets, you're going to catch fish. They let down the nets, they started pulling in fish. And I sometimes think, well, that was quite a few fish. But let me give you an idea of just how great this blessing was. A Christian economist asked that question. How great was this blessing? So he figured out that the best thing to do would be to calculate the weight of fish that would be necessary to cause a boat like Peter would have been in to sink. And he could do that because we know a lot about the kinds of fishing boats that they used in the sea and in the Sea of Galilee. And so he calculated how many fish you would have to put in two boats, not just one boat, two boats, to cause them to start to sink. Does anybody have any idea how much those fish would have been worth? Well, he went a little further. And he calculated the value of those fish by taking the average yearly income of a fisherman in the year 310. Now, I have no idea why 310 was chosen, but the records that the Romans kept were pretty accurate. And so they knew what the average annual income of a fisherman was going to be in that region, fishing where Peter and his partners were fishing. This load of fish that they brought in, that Jesus led them to, was valued at between 25 and 35 times the average annual income for not just one fisherman, but for three fishermen. This was huge. Beyond anything I could have ever imagined, 25 times the average annual income that Peter would have expected to make as a fisherman. But not just Peter, his partners too. This was a blessing beyond anything you can imagine. And if you're interested, that's about a 16-page long article where he talks about all of the things that he had to go through to calculate that. I can give you the link so you can read that article. You might not be as interested in it as I was, but that's the kind of thing that I actually read. And then Jesus said, come, follow me. Peter had made a commitment. He listened to Jesus. Jesus said, go out and let down your nets and fish, and I'll bless you. But then Peter had to realize that this wasn't just a one-time shot. This meant a long-term commitment. And in Peter's case, it was a long-term commitment despite his acknowledged sin, his acknowledged unworthiness. Remember, he fell down at Jesus' knees and he said, I'm a sinner. And you know what? He did. He left the boats. They just, I don't know, I guess they stayed there and rotted. But he left the boats and he followed Jesus. In spite of his weakness, But you know, it may have been his acknowledged weakness that made him willing to do that. That sounds a little twisted. That sounds like maybe I've missed the point, but there is another story that we read about in the seventh chapter of the book of Luke. Luke 7, beginning at verse 36, one of the Pharisees was requesting Jesus to come and eat with him. He entered into the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. There was a woman in the city who was a sinner. Now that's a polite way of saying she was a prostitute. When she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. Standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hair of her head and began kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. Imagine the scandal. Well, the Pharisee, who was looking at what was going on, said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and of what sort this woman is who is touching him. She is a sinner. She's a prostitute. Jesus responded to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He replied, say it, teacher. And this is what Jesus said. A moneylender had two debtors. The one owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he canceled the debts of both. Which of them will love him more? Simon answered, and he said, I assume the one for whom he canceled the greater debt. And he said to him, you've judged correctly. It's knowing our own acknowledged sin that makes us want to serve God. People that don't want to serve God don't think that they're sinners. Jesus continued, turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She's wet my feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. But she has not stopped kissing my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil. She anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. And then I think it was a slap at the Pharisee. He said, the one who is forgiven little loves little. He said to her, your sins have been forgiven. What's it take for us to make the kind of commitment that Peter and his partners made, knowing that we're sinners? If we don't acknowledge that, if we don't understand that, we won't come and work with Jesus. But Jesus wants us to work with him. He wanted Peter and his partners to come and be fishers of men. And they did, and we know how effective they were. Their labor was not in vain in the Lord. And I so appreciated the songs we sang this morning that talk about the blessings that we have in Christ. I'm so impressed with what God has done. When he called me and I said no, I'm busy. He was patient enough to know that I would respond. It may be that you need to respond today. It may be that you've thought about responding before and you thought, no, I'm busy. I've got too many things to do. Don't let that be the case. Like Peter, put out. Go out and see how God will bless you. We'll help you today. You can put on Jesus. We'll help you in baptism to do just exactly that. If you're a person who said, no, not today, maybe you've wandered away. And you were thinking about, you know, I need to come back to God. I really need to get my act together. And I really need to be working with Jesus. Again, be like Peter. You don't need to be baptized again, but repent and pray. He's promised he would forgive that. He wants you to join him in working.